Today's daf is Shabbos daf Sadi Gimel. We are holding on daf Sadi Beis and Beis. We got to the Mishnah toward the bottom of Sadi Beis and Beis. Today we're going to discuss three basic topics. First, we're going to discuss the issue of Shnayim Shasa Uha. If two people do a single malacha together, the Gemara is going to outline the sources of in Pesukim for each of the three opinions in Tanayim that we're about to see in the Mishnah as to when two people are chayiv and when they are pater. Then the Gemara is going to debate and try to prove whether Misayeya Yesh Bo Mamish or Misayeya Ein Bo Mamish. Do we consider something that serves as a supportive role to be as if it's doing the action itself, or do we consider it to be inconsequential because the job could have been done without the Misayeya? And finally, the Mishnah at the very end of the daf, which we may or may not get to, teaches the rule that when carrying an Iker and a Tafel, something that's primary and something that's secondary, we view it as if only the primary item is being carried. For example, you carry a live person out on a bed, you're not chayiv for carrying the bed, since the bed is clearly secondary to the person. You're not chayiv for the person either, because the chay no se es atzmo, but the point is that there's an Iker and a Tafel. So let's see the Mishnah on the bottom of Tzadi Beis and Beis. Says the Mishnah, Motzi Kikar l'Roshus HaRabim chayiv. If a person carries a loaf of bread out into Roshus HaRabim, he's chayiv. So that's pretty clear cut. A person violates the Malach of Otzah, it's food more than the share of a grogus. No chiddush there. Hotziu Shnayim Peturim. But if two people carry it out together, then they're going to be pater. Lo Yachal Echel Hotziu V'Hotziu Shnayim Chayavin Rabbi Shimon Poter. If one of them could not have carried it out, it was too heavy, let's say, for one to carry out, and two people carried it out because you needed the weight of two people, you needed the strength of two people to carry it out, Tanakama says they are both Chayavin Rabbi Shimon Poter. Rabbi Shimon says he is Poter. Question is, who is Pater? We'll have to see. Why are both Chayiv? We'll have to see. The Gemara is going to go through all of the details, both in terms of what the Mishnah is telling me and in terms of why the Mishnah tells it to me. The Shor Mitzvah and Balachov here raises the question on the very first line of the Mishnah, Motzi Kikar L'Roshus Ram Chayiv. He says, "My Kamash Malon." What's the great Chiddush that a Motzi Kikar L'Roshus Ram Chayiv? So he quotes from the Mishnah Lechem, not to be confused with the Lechem Mishnah, that Dilma Kamash Malon, maybe he's telling me, I feel the way a Kavid Ma'od, Shemishkalo Kavid, Shemishkalo Kikar, Kinyan Asefa, Delo Yach Lech Lotzio, that even if it's something that's extremely heavy, that a yachid is still going to be chayiv, even though it's more than, it's heavier than something that an average person could have carried. This guy just happens to be an extremely strong person. So nevertheless, it's still called derech hotza'a, that the havamina would be that for one person to carry something that's so heavy that a normal person would not be able to carry, so the havamina would be that that's not called derech hotza'a. And that's what the Sfasema says, that yachid shotzio, even though it's mishkal kaved, shavem es einu yachal v'tzarech shnayim, that really one person should not be able to do it, really you should need two people. But this guy overexerted himself. Still, we don't say it's shaloka derech hamtzian, because in a time of need, people tend to overexert themselves when they really need to get something done. People sometimes will overexert themselves. They have Rav Zilberstein raises the shayla. He says Shabbos Parsha Zachar kishagalu as sefer Torah leparshas kiseitze nispardu hayirios. Sefer Torah was being rolled from one parsha to another, and it came apart. On the seams, it came apart. So they wanted to put it back together again. So Shul decided they were going to do through Shnayim Shasua, that they were going to put it back together again by having two people tie it together. So with a bow, Al Yidei Aniva. Okay, so this obviously is a shayla that gets involved in a lot of things. Hilcha Sefer Torah, in terms of is that called really that it's put back together again? Hilchos kosher, is that is aniva melach of kosher, or is it not really melach of kosher? But he says ilu asu aniva al yidei shnayim. He said they made a mistake. He goes through, they made several mistakes, but he says there's another problem over here. The Maram Shik and Orchaim Chedek Alef Sim Kuf Chav Zayin writes that if someone sees his friend Moshech B'Shabbos B'Pahamon Adelas K'desh Yiftechulo V'Ratzel HaHakel Me'olav HaSeisr Tafazim HaBiyachad, you see someone doing an Avera, you want him to violate a lesser Avera, so you do it together with him so that it will be Shnayim Shasua. So is that correct? The Maram Shik says even if it's an Isra Kal Al Yidei Shnayim Shasua, it's not necessarily correct to try to create that situation, because maybe it's maybe two people doing an Isra Kal is worse than one person doing in Nisr Chamer. Very similar to what the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Shin Chav Ches, Seif Yudalid, that it's better to shecht and violate a single Isser of Shechita on Shabbos than to violate many Isurim Kalos of Achilas Nevela. Because maybe a single Isser, one qualitatively very bad Isser, is better than having multiple smaller Isurim. So that's the question. That's what the Ran quotes B'Shem the Ravid, that if that exact case, if you need to shecht an animal on Shabbos, if you need meat on Shabbos for a Chol Shish B'Sakana, so you always try to do the lesser Isser. So the Ran quotes B'Shem the Ravid, that if the Chol is going to have to eat many Kazesim, maybe it's better to do the Shechita, because it's one Isser Chamer as opposed to many Isurim Kalos, but it's not clear. That's Rav Yosef Engel has a long piece about that. Do we look at quantity or quality in Isurim and in Mitzvos? Does a higher quality outweigh higher quantity? So that's the Maram Shik over here says that he's not convinced that it's better to have two people do Al Yidei Shnayim Shasu'ah than to have one person do not Al Yidei Shnayim Shasu'ah, than to have one person do the Isur Chamor. Okay, let's see the Gemara. Amar Avido Marav V'amilam Rabbi V'amilam Masnisa Tana Zeh Yachol V'Zeh Yachol. If both guys are able to do the Malacha on their own, but they choose to do it together, Remeir Mechayiv Rabbi Yudah Rabbi Shimon Potrim. So Rabbi Meir says Yechayiv, Rabbi Yudah Rabbi Shimon say, in that case you're Potter. Meaning the Ritva writes that Rabbi Meir holds that it's not called Shnayim Shasua unless it's Zeh Oker V'Zeh Maniach. But as long as both people are involved in the malacha the entire time, when it's Zeh Oker V'Zeh Maniach, one guy picks up Rosh Hashiach, the other one puts it down Rosh Hashanah. So that's two people splitting a malacha. But if two people are both involved consistently from beginning to end in the malacha, then it's called that you're being Osa Eskula, that you're doing the entire malacha. So because by Zeh Oker V'Zeh Maniach, even Rav Meir would say you're Pater. That's the first Mishnah in our Masech. The Eish L'Avrami B'Chach in his Chuvas Ches L'Avram explains that by Chati Shir B'Yisur Shabbos, the Akira alone is not an Isser, doesn't have the shame Isser, meaning that's why even Rav Meir would hold, if you do just an Akira, you're going to be Pater, even though Rav Meir holds Shnayim Shasu'ua, if you aid throughout the length of the time it takes to do the Malacha, you're going to be Chayv. He says, he gives a mashal, he says it's like carrying, we know there's an Isser, they now let him marry a woman and her sister, right? Not allowed to marry your wife's sister. So should we say that you're not allowed to marry a woman because that's halfway there to marrying her sister? No, that's ridiculous. Obviously, you don't say that you can't marry somebody because it's halfway to marry. It's not the shame issa. The shame issa is only when you do the whole thing. So he says you do an akira on Shabbos. You don't do the anacha. You didn't do the shame issa. It's like marrying the woman without marrying the sister. That's not the shame issa at all. Where do we have shame issa? When you're involved from beginning to end throughout the entire Shem Isser, it's just you're carrying together with somebody else. So that's where Rav Meir is going to say that you're chayiv. So anyway, that's the Shita, that's the first case. Where Zeh Yachol, each one could have done it on its own, on their own. Rav Meir says, Yechayiv Rabbi Yudah Rabbi Shimon Potter. Zeh Eino Yachol, if two people are doing Melacha because neither of them are able to do it on their own, Rabbi Yudah Rabbi Meir Mechayivim, Rabbi Shimon Potter. Rabbi Yudah Rabbi Meir say Yechayiv, Rabbi Shimon says, you're Potter. So essentially, Rabbi Yehuda that jumps over to the other side. Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, if both of them are unable to do it on their own, that's where you're going to be chayiv. Zeh yachol v'zeh eino yachol. What if one guy is going to be able to do it, the other guy is not going to be able to do it on his own, and they do it together? Divrei HaKol chayiv. Then even Rabbi Shimon joins the side that says chayiv. Now we don't know who's chayiv. One of them is chayiv, but we'll see soon which one, right? But even in this case, where one is able, one is not able, that's where even Rabbi Shimon will agree with Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda that they're going to be chayiv. Tanya Nami Yachli, we have a brisa just like this. Hamotzi kikar l'rishus rabim chayiv. A person carries a kikar out to l'rishus rabim, he's chayiv. Hotziu shnayim, if two people carry it out together, Rameir mechayiv Rabbi Domer. Rameir says yechayiv no matter what, because Rameir in all three possibilities, whether neither was able to do it on their own, but either was able to do it on their own, or one wasn't able to do it on their own. Rameir says chayiv in all cases, so there's no qualifications necessary. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im lo yachalech l'otziu shnayim chayavin. If neither one could have done it, and then they both do it together, then they're going to be chayiv. V'imlav have Peturim, but if they could have done it on their own, then they're going to be Pater. Rabbi Shimon Poter. Rabbi Shimon says you're Pater. So Minani Mili. So meaning whether Rabbi Shimon says you're Pater, whether they both could have done it on their own or whether neither could have done it on their own, they're going to be Pater. So Minani Mili. Where do we get this from? The Tan Rabbanan. Meaning, what's the pasuk that teaches us that there is such a rule of Shneim Shasua that you might be Pater in certain cases? Where do we have a pasuk for this? The Tan Rabbanan. Bryce darshans the following pasuk. Ba'asosa ha'osas kula v'lo'osas miksasa. Apparently in Hilchos Shabbos we have such a concept that based on the pasuk ba'asosa, that only if you do the malacha entirely, not if you only do a partial malacha, you're going to be potter if you do a partial malacha. Ketzad shnayim sheyochsin b'milgaz v'logzin. If let's say two people take a pitchfork and they start stacking something with the pitchfork, Rashi says a violation of the malacha of me'amer or bekarkar v'shoftin. They start they take a pointed rod and they start arranging things. And Mesach, Rashi says, a violation of Mesach. Or Bekulmus v'kosvin, they take a quill and they start to write, a violation of Kosev. Bekanavot, Tzia l'Rosh Hasharabim, they take a reed and they bring it out to Rosh Hasharabim, violation of Hotza'a. So again, all this is if two people do these things together. Yachl yuhu chayavin, you might think that they're chayiv. Tamalomar ba'asosa. Ha'osas kula v'lo osa miksasa. So we have a drasha. No, only if you do it in its entirety, not if you do a partial malacha, you're not going to be chayiv. The eagle shall devel of Otsil Rosh Hasharabim, Bikura of Otsil Rosh Hasharabim, but let's say it's an eagle shall devel of something extremely heavy, and they bring it around to Rosh Hasharabim, or it's a beam, and they bring it around to Rosh Hasharabim, meaning the point is that neither of them would have been able to carry this on their own. Rabbi Yehuda, Omerim lo yachalach lotsiyah votsiyu shnayim, chayavim. So Rabbi Yehuda says that if neither of them would have been able to carry it on their own, and the two of them bring it out together, they're going to be chayiv, v'imlav, peturin. But otherwise, if they would have been able to carry it on their own, then they're going to be potter. Rabbi Shimon Omer, afal pi shalei yochal echad lotsiyah votsiyu shnayim, peturin. Rabbi Shimon says even if one of them could not carry it out on their own, and the two of them carried it together, they're still going to be potter. Again, just repeating the same three shitos. L'kach nemar ba'asosa, yachid Peturin. That's what Pasos is telling me, that if a single individual does it, he's chayiv, but if two people do it together, Rabbi Shimon holds you potter no matter what, if two people do it together, whether they were able to do it on their own individually, or whether they're not able to do it on their own individually. So again, those are the three basic opinions. Rabbi Meir, who is going to say chayiv in every case, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say potter in some of the cases, and Rabbi Shimon, who will say potter in almost every case. So now the Gemara says, B'mai kamiflagi, okay, what's the basis of this machlokas? Meaning we know this concept of Shayim Shasu'ua is learned from Be'asosa. So what are they arguing about? Meaning they all have this pasuk, so what's the basis of the machlokas? So the Gemara is going to explain Bahaikra. It's all based on the following pasuk. V'im nefesh achas techta b'shkaga me'am ha'aretz Be'asosa. The pasuk says, and it goes on, Achas mitzvah Hashem ha'shalosei asena v'yashem. That's the pasuk that we use. So Rabbi Shimon Savar t'lasa miyutik sivi. Rabbi Shimon thinks, if you look carefully at this pasuk, you will find three miutim, three exclusions in this pasuk. Nefesh techata, achas techata, ba'asosa techata. Now the word techata does not appear three times. It says, v'im nefesh achas Techta bishkaga me'ama aretz ba'asosa. We're darshaning that nefesh techta goes on nefesh, achas techta goes on achas, and techta goes on ba'asosa. So it's nefesh achas techta bishkaga me'ama ba'asosa. So it all goes back on techta. Even ba'asosa, which comes after, goes back on techta. So chad l'mutei ze okrev zemniach. Three miutim. Why do I need three miutim? One to tell me that if they split the malacha in the way that we learned in the Mishnah on Daf Beis, where one guy does the akira and the other guy does the anacha, then in that case you're going to be potter. Okay. V'chad l'mutei ze yachol v'ze yachol. One to teach me our case, where both guys are doing the entire malacha, but either one could have done it on their own, they can be potter in that case. And the third me is to tell me that our case where they're both doing the entire thing together, except neither one could have done it on their own. Rabbi Shimon holds you putter across the board. So Rabbi Shimon holds that's what we do with the three miutim. Rabbi Yehuda, what do you do? What's Rabbi Yehuda going to learn the three miutim for? So chad lemutei zeokrav zemniach. One again to teach Mishnah and Daf Beis that if one guy does the akira, the other guy does the anocha, you putter. And one to tell me yes. that in our case, if both guys, either guy, could have done it on his own, and they carry together, that you're going to be potter. But Rabbi Yehuda can't use the third miyut to teach me ze'enu yachol ze'enu yachol, because he holds your chayiv in the case of ze'enu yachol ze'enu yachol. What does he do with the third miyut? V'chadamutei yachid shasa ba'ras bezdin. He uses the third miyut to teach me that an individual person who sins based on psak of bezna gadol, that he's putter. That when an individual doesn't have error based on psak of bezna gadol, as Rashi says, horu bezin shechelev mutter. Let's say bezin comes out with a psak that chelev is mutter. Chelev is the forbidden fats of an animal. Shuman is the kosher fats. So they say that chelev is mutter. They made a mistake. V'halach hayachid va'asal p'yem. Not the entire community. So it's not a parallel davar shel tzibur issue. A yachid goes and violates the avera. Da'anosu. He's an onus. What does he know? He's just listening to the rabbis. Rabbi Shimon l'tamei dam b'hori yos yachid shasav haras bezin chayiv. So the Gemara goes on to say Rabbi Shimon holds that we don't need a miut for that because it's not true. Yachid shasav haras bezin chayiv. Rabbi Shimon holds that when a yachid does something based on Aras Bezdin, he is going to be chayiv. It's not there. You don't. That's why we don't use a pasuk to tell me that he's pater. Tosas takes out that line. He thinks that we don't say Rabbi Shimon l'tamei the yachid shasav haras bezin chayiv because it's a beferish mishnah in Horios that halach va'asal pien bein iviu kaparasan bein lo Rabbi Shimon poter. That Rabbi Shimon himself holds over there in Horios that you're potter, that you're told of Bebezin that it's a complete onus. So you got to take out this line of the Gemara, says Tosfos. But either way, Rabbi Shimon doesn't use this third drasha to tell me about Yachid Shasa Baras Bezin. Rabbi Meir, what's Rabbi Meir going to do with three miyutim? So first, meaning at most he'll be able to use number one and number three the way Rabbi Yehuda does, but the second miyut to tell me zay yachol v'zay yachol, Rabbi Meir holds you chayiv in a case of zay yachol v'zay yachol, where either guy could have done the malach on his own. So what's he going to do with three miyutim? So Gemara says he'll deny that there are three. He'll tell you that there are only two miyutim. Rabbi Meir miksiv nefesh techta. Achas techta, basosa techta. What does it say all that? It doesn't say you're adding the word techta a million times in the pasuk. Tre miyutik sivi. There are really only two miyutim in the pasukim, as Rashi points out. Nefesh achas chad miyutahu. Dorchei dekral lishtai hachi. That nefesh achas is one miyut, and techta and basosa is another miyut. So chad lemute ze oker v'zemeniach. One to tell me ze oker v'zemeniach, meaning the Mishnah daf beis, that if one guy picks it up and the other one puts it down, they can be pater. And the other tell me that if an individual goes and doesn't have error based on the psak of Bezna Gadol, that he is pater. But in terms of two people doing an entire malacha together from beginning to end, there is no miyut to tell me that anybody is pater, because you're chayiv in those cases, according to Rabbi Meir. So says the Gemara now, Amar Mar, ze yachol ze inu yachol divrei akol chayiv. So if one guy is able to do it on his own, one guy is not able to do it on his own, so we said divrei akol chayiv. Then everybody agrees that you're chayiv. Meaning up until now, we haven't really discussed that, we just mentioned it in passing. What we've been discussing until now is either where both guys are able to do it on their own, or where neither guy is able to do it on their own. But what if you have a case where one guy could have done the malach on his own, and the other guy couldn't do it on his own, but they both did it together, so we said everyone agrees that you're going to be chayiv. Even Rabbi Shimon who thinks that you're pater in both of the other cases, is going to say over here that you're chayiv. Question is, hey, me now you're chayiv. Who's chayiv? The guy that could have done it on his own, or the guy that could not have done it on his own? So says Gemara, Amar Rav Chista, Zeshe Yachal. The guy that could have done it on his own is chayiv. Di Zeshe Inu Yachal, my Kavod. Because the guy that could not have done it on his own, what did he do? He couldn't do anything anyway. So what did he contribute? So Amar Rav Nuna, to come and say, hey, what do you mean, what did he contribute? When I might be able to lift this table on my own, but if you help me, it will be easier. It will be, so even if you can't lift it on your own, by you grabbing one end of it, it's certainly makes it a lot easier. When my kids help me schlep the boards for the sukkah, they can't hold it on their own. I can, but it still certainly makes it a lot easier when they hold the other end. So Amalei Misayeya in Bo Mamish. So he says, no, Misayeya, that doesn't help. The fact that they're helping, that doesn't make a difference. Misayeya is irrelevant. It's not a significant contribution. So now the Gemara's next step is going to try to prove this issue of Misayeya in Bo Mamish. We're gonna bring four rayas that to Rav Chista that Misayeya in Bo Mamish. So he says, raya number one, Afana Nami Tanina, Hayoshev Agabe Amita have arba talios, tachas raglei amita. Let's say you're sitting on a bed, and there are four talisos one under each leg of the bed. So, and the person sitting on the bed is a zav. So do those talisos become tamei tumas medris? So tameos mishen yichal laman al shalosh. Yes, they're all tamei, because each leg of the bed is very important. The bed can't stand on three legs. It will tip over. You need four legs of the bed. For Rabbi Shimon Mitar, Rabbi Shimon says that it's tahar. Let's say you're riding on an animal. Tosus points out this can't mean that you're actually riding on an animal. It means you're sitting on an animal that's stationary. The animal is omed, it's not holich, and we'll see why in a second. Vidala talios tachas ragle behema. And again, under the four legs of the animal, there are four talisos, and you're a zav. So tahoros, those garments are tahar, because an animal could stand on three legs. So that they're all tahar, because each one is only playing a misayeya role. It's only playing a supportive role. None of them are doing the whole job. Isn't this a raya? That's why they're tahar. That's why none of them are considered to be the Medrus Hazav, because they're all only Misayeya. So that's Raya number one. Amr of Yudim Deskata, Yudim Deskata says, nah, maybe that's not such a great Raya. Liol Me Malach Misayeya Yeshbo Mamish. Maybe really normally Misayeya is Yeshbo Mamish, is significant. Vishaini Achad Da Akrala Vagamri. And over here it's different, because the animal sometimes lifts up a leg entirely. And once it lifts up a leg entirely, so then the other three are fully being, are fully supporting the animal, because you need the animal won't stand on less than three legs. So then it's like the bed case, once the animal lifts up one leg, and at sometimes it's going to lift up the other leg. So, or at some point in time, since sometimes it lifts up one, sometimes it lifts the other, at some point in time, all four talisos are supporting a necessary leg, and it should be just like a case of a zav hamishapech. What's the case of a zav hamishapech? Milotnan, didn't we have a Mishnah? Zav shayimutal al heisav salim. If you have a zav that's lying across five benches, al heipun daos, or five chairs, whatever the other types of benches. So la orchan, if he's lying across them lengthwise, tameim, they're going to be tamei, meaning they're tamei because on each one he puts the majority of his weight at a given time. But l'rachban, if he lies across them widthwise, there are five benches and he lies across them widthwise, so you take any single bench away, his full weight will still be supported. So taharin, then they're going to be tahar. Yashin, if he fell asleep, safik mesapech alein tameim. Fell asleep and therefore he could have turned around and put all of his weight on one of them at any given time, so then they're all going to be tame. So shouldn't this case of the animal be exactly like the case of a zav hamisapech, that sometimes an animal picks up this leg, sometimes picks up that leg? Whenever it picks up a leg, all the other three are now fully supporting it. It's not just misayeya. Elav mishum damrin on misayeya ein bo mamish. So now you see that misayeya is ein bo mamish, that the fact that it's a misayeya doesn't help at all. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Papi Mishmei de Rava. So Papi Mishmei de Rava says, I'll bring you a second raya. Raya number two. Again, the Messiah Ein Bo Namish. Ein Bo Namish. Afna Nami Tanina. Rabbi Yossi Omer. Rabbi Yossi says in the following case, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hasus Mitame Al Yadav. That let's say you have a Zav that's riding on a horse, and there is a talus underneath one of the four legs of the sus, not the hind legs, the four legs of the sus. So then that talus becomes tame as a medrash hazav. Hachamor al raglav. If it's a donkey, so it would have to be under the hind legs for it to be tame. Shemash enes hasus al yadav v'chamor al raglav. Because apparently a horse puts most of its weight in front of it, whereas a chamor puts most of its weight on its hind legs in the back, and therefore that's what's going to define what's medris. But wait a second, Ramai, how can you say about the adadi? But wait a second, even for a horse who puts most of its weight on the front legs, aren't the back legs at least misayeya? Even for a chamor who puts most of its weight on its back legs, aren't the front legs a misayeya? So why shouldn't cloths under the other legs, under the hind legs of a horse and the four legs of a donkey, also be a problem, also be tame? La mishum damarin misayeya imba mamish. So again, that's raya number two, the misayeya is imba mamish. Says, well, raya number three, Amar Ravashi afananami tanina. Rabbi Lezer Omer, raglo achas al kliv, raglo achas al rit. Let's say you have a kohen doing the avoda. So the halacha is he's not allowed to have a chatzitza between his feet and the avoda. He has to be directly on the ritzpah sa'azara. So let's say he has one foot on the kli, sit on top of a kli, another foot directly on the floor. Ragla chasala evan, ragla chasala ritzba. He has one foot on a stone and one foot directly on the floor. Rowan kol she'ilu yinatel akli v'tinatel ha'evan yachal lamur al ragla chasavadaso ksheira. We try to figure out, would he be able to stand, support himself, if we were to remove the stone that his foot is on, or the kli that his foot is on, would he be able to support himself solely with the foot that's directly on the floor? If yes, then the avodah is kosher. V'imlav avodas psula. If not, then he's really putting too much weight on the kli, on the evan, and then the avodah is going to be pasul. Even if he would be able to stand with the one foot that's on the floor, it certainly helps him to balance himself by having the other foot on the kli, the other foot on the evan. Isn't that an issue of misayeya? Says Gemara, lav mishum damri in misayein mamamish. So you see, araya misayein mamamish. Tosus points out over here, wait a second, what about in general chatzitzos? Isn't there a general rule, min bimino, eno chotzeitz, that if you have two things that are of like kinds, so one is not chotzeitz, with the other, that it's not chotzeitz, meaning, let's say, if I have water on my hand, that's not going to be a chatzitza when I go into the mikveh, right? The water is not going to be a chatzitza because the water is the same min as the other water. Or if I have, let's just leave it at water. Anything that would have a din of water, let's say, the halacha by mikvos is that fish skin has a din of water also, because it grows in the mayim. So that's a kula, some of the poskim used in situations where there were chatzitza issues, where something couldn't get wet, a part of the skin couldn't get wet, where they would wrap fish skin around a certain part of the body, and that way it wouldn't be a chatzitza problem, because it has a din of continuation of the water. It's considered min b'mino. What about over here? A stone, the ritzpah sazar was made out of stone. So you have ragla chasala evan, so why is that called a chatzitza? It should be directly on, that should be called that it's directly on the floor. So it says Tosfos Be'achol Lekol Mifshat to Min B'Mino Chotzeitz. The Evan Humi Min Aritzma Min B'Sheinu Min Chotzeitz. The Kliyenu Min Aritzma U'Bayu Perikotziel Lo B'Niach Siv B'Tocha Mizrak V'Kibul Bo'as Adam Tevade Siv Mevatalei Aval Kli Ve'Evan Lo Mevatalei. The Evan Nitzkolim Ba'Holchem Sham. He says, no, the reason over here why it's still going to be a chatzitza, even though it's min b'mino, is that no one wants the Evan on the floor of the Azara. When there's a stone on the floor of the Azara, someone is going to want to take it away because it's a michshal. Someone's going to trip on it. So it's not something that anyone wants there. If you're mevatel there, you leave it there, you're okay with having it there, so then fine, then it won't be a chatzitza. But over here, it's clearly an interposition that's not wanted in the Azara. Fourth raya back in the Gemara. Amar avinaf and anami tanina. We have another raya. Kibul biyamin v'smol misayato avodasuk shera. Let's say you do the avodah by the Kabbalah Saddam. You do the Kabbalah Saddam with your right hand. Kohen has to do the avodah with his right hand, and his left hand helps him out in the avodah. So the halacha is that the avodah is going to be kosher. But isn't the left hand playing a supportive role over here? So shouldn't that be a problem that it's Mesayeh Ba'adei Adadi? So says Gemara, no, you see, Lav Mishum Damrin and Mesayeh Ein Bomamish. So again, you see that Mesayeh is Ein Bomamish. Now Rashi over here quotes from Gemara in Chulin Chabezim Ralef that whenever it says etzba or kuhuna, eino eli yamin. You always need the right hand. That's why the Kohen always has to use his right hand when he's doing the Kabbalah, when he's doing the Avodas Hadam. So, but still, if you have a Messiah, it's kosher. So the problem is, there's a Gemara in Brachas in Daf Nun Aleph. The Gemara in Brachas talks about that a Koshal Bracha needs 10 things. There are 10 requirements of a Koshal Bracha. One of them is Biyamin, that you're supposed to hold the Koshal Bracha in your right hand. So the Gemara over there says that they asked, Smol Mahusha Tisayeya Liyamin. Can you have your left hand at least help support the cup if you're primarily holding the Koshal Bracha in your right hand? So the Gemara says, Anan Neved L'Chumra. Now we chose to go L'Chumra, that we're only going to use the right hand, we're not even going to use the left hand to support the cup. That's what the Gemara says over there. So the question is, that the left hand over there is a Messiah. The din that you have to hold a Koshal Bracha in your right hand is a din d'Rabbanan. That's clearly not a din d'Araisa. No such thing as a Koshal Bracha mid'Araisa. Right? It's purely a din mid'Rabbanan. The old din of Kiddush Alakos is only d'Rabbanan. Right, so it's clearly a din midrabbanan. So over here we're dealing with a din d'oraisa. Rashi quotes from Kol Makom that the Torah uses the word etzba, uses the word kahuna. These are drushes d'oraisa that you need to use the right hand. So why is it that when it comes to a din d'oraisa that you need to use the right hand, we're going to be makel and say no problem with misayeya. You could have misayeya, it's ein bomam, it's not a problem. You could be misayeya with the left hand. Yet when it comes to a din d'rabbanan that you have to use the right hand, we're not going to allow misayeya. We're going to be machmir on the din d'rabbanan. Very, very difficult. In general, the sugya of Misayeh is very difficult, because Misayeh comes up all over the place, and there are stiras about whether Misayeh is Ein Bo Mamash or Yesh Bo Mamash. Our sugya, very, very clear that Misayeh is Ein Bo Mamash. On the other hand, there's Gemara Makos, Tav Chaf Beis, Makif and Nikif. There is a halacha that you're not allowed to round off a dindar rice, you're not allowed to round off your haircut. You can't cut off your payas. You're not allowed to have a round, just a straight line across the head to cut off the payas. So who's the Yisaran? So there's an Isser, the Gemara Darshan's on the Makif, on the one who's doing the cutting. There's also an Isser on the Nikif, on the one who's getting cut. Echad a Makif, Echad a Nikif is Loka. So the Gemara says, what did the Nikif do? He's just sitting there. So the answer is the Gemara, Ravashi says, Misayeya v'divrei akol, that he's being Misayeya. He's putting his head in the right spot so that the other guy could cut off the hairs. And therefore, he's going to be Chayiv. Halacha l'maisa shulchan aruch sim kuf pei alef in yardeya siv dalet, the Nikif is Chayiv if he's Misayeya, if he even leans his head a little bit, moves, tries to accommodate the barber in any way, the Nikif is going to be Chayiv. So it's a blatant stira. Our whole Gemara, four rayas, Misayeya, Zein Bo Mamish, if you're just being Misayeya, it's absolutely irrelevant, you're not doing anything, and yet over there, it's Misayeya Yesh Bo Mamish. So Shidim Kabetzas in Beit Zadav Chav Beis says that in Yon Olafi Mekomo, you have to look at each case individually. When he's able to do it without the help of his friend, then we say it's Ein Bo Mamish. But when he can't do it without the help of his friend, then Misayeya is Yesh Bo Mamish. The Taz writes, let's say you have a woman who has to go to the mikvah on Shabbos, and she forgot to cut her fingernails before Shabbos. So the halacha is, a woman who goes to the mikvah has to cut her fingernails, we're choshish for dirt underneath the nails, maybe the nails themselves are a chatzitza. That's all discussion why exactly she has to cut her fingernails, but she does. Right? The halacha is that she does. So the halacha is, says the Taz, in Yardeyas, from Kuf Tzadiches, she cannot have a guy cut her fingernails for her, because it's a chumra dasil de kula, because even though the guy is going to be doing the cutting, the Yisraelis is Messiah, by putting her fingers in such a position and moving it and adjusting it to allow the guy to cut more easily, and therefore it's as if she's doing the malacha, just like we say by cutting off your payas, that Messiah is Yesh Bo Mamish. And that's what the Taz writes also in the Ramah in Sim Shin Chav Ches. If let's say a person has a toothache and he wants to remove his tooth on Shabbos, so can he go to a guyish dentist or a guy who could just punch him in the mouth and knock out his tooth, and have a guy knock out his tooth? So the Ramah says, yeah, why not? Says the Taz, because Yisrael is Messiah. He's Messiah by putting his tooth, opening his mouth, be accommodating the person who's trying to knock out his tooth. Why is this any different than a Nikif? So the Taz says that we have to be Mechalik, that when he's being Messiah b'shas Malacha, that the Malacha already started, and you only need him for purposes after the Malacha already started, that, then it's Ein Bo Mamish. As opposed to by a Nikif, where before the Makif begins to be Makif his payas, the Nikif already positions himself to get the malacha started. The Nikif position, or by the tooth, in order for him to knock out your tooth, you got to open your mouth. So the one who starts the malacha is the Jew who opens up his mouth. So says the Taz, that's going to be a problem. But if the guy started the malacha and then you're Messiah along the way, that's not going to be a problem. The Shach disagrees with the Taz. The Shach writes, by the cutting of the fingernails, it's not called Messiah. By Hakafa, it's called Messiah, because the Pasuk says, Lo Sakifu, and we darshan Lo Saniach Lahak. If it's special drush on the Pasuk, that Messiah is Yeshba Mamish by Hakafa. Meaning, the way the Shach is Yashiv the Stira between our Sugya and the Sugya Makos about Hakafa is that there's a Pasuk over there for Messiah to be Chayiv. By Shabbos and everything else, Messiah is fine. There's no problem. So, according to the Shach, it would turn out that, let's say, you have a case where Zilberstein discusses, let's say there was a Bris Mila on Shabbos, except it was a Yotze Dofen. The baby was a C-section, and they made a terrible mistake by doing this bris milah on Shabbos. So certainly the Moel needs kapara. He was mechal Shabbos, shlom makom, not without the heter of milah docha Shabbos. What about the sandik? The sandik was holding the baby, so he's a Messiah. So he says, maybe that would depend on this machlokas shach and taz, that according to the taz, you're going to be chayiv v'chatas. According to the shach, it's ein bo mamish. The Messiah is ein bo mamish, because according to the taz, the mole can't start until the sandik puts the baby there. So the sandik started, so it's a significant siyua. Mishabura says that a lot of achron, Mishabura and Shin Chav Ches, says a lot of achron disagree with the taz in terms of taking out a tooth on Shabbos, and by cutting the nails, Mishnah Berurah doesn't even mention the Taz. He just quotes the Shach, and that's, I think, what's generally quoted in Halacha, like the Shach, that you can have a guy cut your nails, a woman can have a guy cut her nails on Shabbos if it's going to enable her to go to the mikvah. There are many, many other cases in Shas and Poskim of Messiah that we didn't mention. In the context of Lifnei Iver, right? The Halacha is Messiah on a Doraisa level Zain Bo Mamish, meaning I help somebody do an Avera, but they could have done the Avera on their own. I'm just providing support for them to do the Avera. So Midor Raisa, that's not Lifnei Iver. Lifnei Iver is only, as the Gemara does, it says, when it's Treya B'dinara, when it's on two sides of a river, and the person has no access to the Isser on my side of the river, and I throw it to him. So that's Lifnei Iver, but when we're both on the same side of the river, he's just too lazy to bend down and get it, so I pick it up for him and I give it to him. That's on a Midor Raisa level, Mesayin Bo Mamish. Midrabanan, it's Yesh Bo Mamish. Midrabanan, there is an Isser Mesayin Lidei over Avera. You have this all over the place. The Shulchan Aruch in Aruchayim Reshayin Vav, a guy lights a Ner Shabbos. A guy lights a Ner on Shabbos. Turns on the light in the room on Shabbos. So if you have a little light on in the room already and you're already using that light, and the guy added more light, so you're allowed to be Nene from the extra light that the guy added, because you were anyway using the light. He was only Messiah. You could have enjoyed. You could have read. You could have been reading in that room anyhow. It's just the guy made it easier to read. So that's okay. But as soon as your light goes out, then it's not okay. So apparently that kind of siyua, again, ain bo mamish. So again, each case has to be looked at differently, and you have to figure out whether you hold like the shach of the taz, exactly how to define when it's yesh bo mamish and when it's ain bo mamish. Vaitiv, next sugya. Amar mar, ze yachol, Rav Meir mechayiv. So we had said that according to Rav Meir, if either guy is able to do the melacha on his own, and they do it together, they're going to be chayiv. So yibayilahu. Since it's two guys doing the malacha, do you need a double shear of the malacha? Because there are two guys that are splitting the entire malacha. Or do you say, no, if two guys do one malacha together, even with a single shear of the malacha, that would be enough to be chayiv. In the case of Rav Meir Shita Zayachal Zayachal, Tosfos bothered, why would we frame this dafka within Rav Meir Shita? Why are we asking dafka libd Rav Meir? We could have said Zayino Yachal Zayino Yachal, Alibad Rabbi Yehuda, right? Rabbi Yehuda holds when neither of them could do it on their own, and they do it together. Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you're going to be chayiv in that case. So why don't we say that? Okay, according to Rabbi Yehuda, in the case of ze'enu yachal ve'ze'enu yachal, do you need a double shear? Because after all, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Wouldn't it make more sense to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? So Tosfos has two approaches. Approach number one is the girsazu ta'us. We got seen in Amar Mar ze'enu yachal ve'ze'enu. Einochinami, change the girsa. Our Gemara should read Ze'enu Yachal Ze'enu Yachal. This shayla is within Rabbi Yehuda. Possibility number two, Tos says, Vomri de'in l'mchok asfar mishum zeh, t'alo nakat ze'enu yachol mishum de'in regilus be'in yachol, shalo yehi boshir l'kalechon. The reason the Gemara didn't ask, if neither one could do it on their own, do you need a double shear? Because usually, when they're carrying something that neither one could carry on their own, it already has a double shear anyway. That's why they couldn't carry it on their own, because it was huge, it was too heavy for them to carry on their own. So it's a silly question. It's a case that's not really matzui, that neither of them could do it on their own, but do you need a shear? Do you need a double shear? Of course, you have a double shear when neither of them can do it on. So we're asking in a case that makes a little more sense. That's how Tosfos understands. But theoretically, logically, the question could certainly be asked within Shitas Rabbi Yehuda as well. So Rav Chisra Avnun, Echadam Shir Lezev Shir Lezeh, Vechadam Shir Echad Lekulan. So there's Machlokes Rav Chisra Avnun. One says you do need a double shear, one says you don't need a double shear. The Gemara now brings four rayas that a single shear would suffice, that you don't need a double shear. So the second time in the daf today that we have four rayas to prove a point. Amar Rav Papa Mishmei Derava, Afana Nami Tanina, I'll prove to you that you do not need a double shear. Hayoshev al gabi mita varba talios tachas arba ragli amita tameos, a zav is sitting on a bed. And underneath the four legs of the bed, there are four garments, one under each leg of the bed, so they're all going to be tamim. Nesheim yichol lamin al sholosh, because the bed can't sit on three legs, it needs all four legs. V'amai libay shir zivil zev shir zivil zev, shouldn't you need two zavim? Meaning, if they're, shouldn't you need a zav for each each leg of the bed, for each talis, if all the talisos are combining, they're all misayeya together to support the, and none of them are able to do it on their own, but they're all doing it together, so shouldn't you need the tumah, the separate tumah for each of them, if you need a separate shear for everything? So lav mishum damrin shirach lekulan. So you see, no, you don't need a separate shear for each thing, one shear is enough for everything. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Rav Namitanina, raya number two, tzvisha nechnas labayis, let's say a deer enters a house, v'nal echad b'fan of chayiv, and one guy closes the door to trap the deer in the house, he's chayiv. Nalu shnayim paturin. If two guys close the door, they're going to be pater. Lo yachal echad linol v'nalu shnayim chayavim. Let's say one guy couldn't close the door. The door was enormous. It was way too heavy. And two guys push with all their might and they close the door, then they're going to be chayiv. V'amai libay shir tzeda l'zeh v'shir tzeda l'zeh. Shouldn't you say that you need a shir tzeda for each of them? That you should need two deers in the house in order for them to be chayiv? Because each one needs to be tzada, its own shir of an animal. Salam mishum damrin shir echad l'kulam. So you see, no, that one shear is enough. When two people do a malacha together, they could split a single shear of the malacha and be chayiv. Amar Ravina, raya number three. Afan anami tanina. I'll bring you a third raya. Hashutvin shaganvu v'tavchu chayavin. If let's say you have partners that get together and they steal and they shecht an animal, they're going to be chayiv. Shouldn't you need a shear of tvicha, meaning they should have to steal two animals, because you can't shecht one animal twice. So there should be a shear of tvicha, a shear of shechita, for each of them. So don't you see one shear of tvicha for all of them is enough? So you see that that they're able to split the one shechita and still be chayiv. What about shir geneva l'zev, shir geneva l'zev? Why don't we mention that? Why is it only shir tvicha l'zev, shir tvicha l'zev? So Tos points out, because there's no such thing as a shir geneva. You have to pay back, it's no b'kol dover b'kol shu, tashlumei kefil, you pay back whatever you stole. It doesn't make a difference. But tvicha, it's a living animal. You need to shecht a living animal. So you need two lives if you're going to have two chiyuvim. Well, you would think you would need two lives if you have two chiyuvim. So that's what the Kamash Mulan is. No, they could share that shear of one life. Va'amar Rav Ashi, afananami tanina, fourth raya, shnayim shutziu kana shel gardi chayavin. If two people carry out a weaver's stick, they're going to be chayiv. Va'amai libay shirot salazeh v'shirot salazeh. But a weaver stick is only one shear of hotzah. Shouldn't they need to carry two weaver sticks or a very large weaver stick? So lav mishum damrin shear echad l'kulam. So don't you see that you only need one shear for everything altogether? So again, it's raya number four. Says Gemara, okay, the first three rayas we'll take. This last one is not such a great raya. Arm le'ravacha b'rei d'rava l'ravashi dilma dis b'kadei l'vash l'beitza kalazeh l'beitza kalazeh. Maybe the stick is big enough that it has enough firewood to cook a beitza kala, which is the minimum shear of wood that you would need to carry. So maybe this weaver stick is so big that it could cook two beitz akalos. So who said that it's not? Who said that you don't have a double shear? So it says Mariam Ken Lashminu Kana de Alma, Maisha de Gardi, because if it was just about a reed that was big enough to cook something, then it should have just mentioned a reed. Why does it have to mention it's a weaver's stick? It's a weaver's rod. So it says Gemara V'dilma Dispeke, because a weaver's rod this year is that it has to be big enough to weave with. V'dilma Dispeke de Larag Mapalizeh V'kede Larag Mapalizeh. Now maybe it is a very large weaver's rod. Maybe it's big enough to weave two different things at the same time, that it's so large. So maybe it is a double shear. El Mehal Lekal Mashmimina. So that we can't... We can't prove anything from that last raya. If you look at Tos, it says, meaning it could have just told us a case of kana bialma and told me if it's just a large stick that could cook two beitza kalas that you'd be chayiv. But it wants to tell me an additional chiddush. It wants to tell me the chiddush that even though it's not normal to be oreg two things at the same time, it still counts as a double shear. I mean, one might have thought one weaver's rod can only do one job. Even though it's very, very large, it can only do one job. So it wants to teach me that additional chiddush, that even though it's not normal to use it for two jobs simultaneously, it still counts as a double shear. Tani Tanakam Midr of Nachman, Shnaim Shotziu Kanashal Gardi Pturin, Rabbi Shimon Mechayiv. Tanakama says, if two people carry a Kanash al Gardi, they're Patr, Rabbi Shimon holds your Chayiv. Says Mara, wait. We started the whole daf with Shnayim Shasua, right? And the whole thing that we started with was Rabbi Meir is Mechayiv in almost every case. Rabbi Yehuda is Mechayiv in some cases, and Rabbi Shimon is always the one that says Patr. So what's going on over here? Rabbi Shimon is Mechayiv all of a sudden. Klapilaya, it should be the reverse. It should be the reverse. It should say that Yechayev and Rabbi Shimon is the one that holds that you're Pater. Okay, we'll stop there. We'll pick up at the Mishnah tomorrow morning. I'm not going to be here next week, Sunday through Friday. Alicia is going to give the shiur. I'm going to be in Eretz Yisrael. That was the Shabbos Baruch.